God for a word of prayer for the sermon tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your blessings. We thank you for loving us. We pray that you'll just speak to us tonight and encourage our hearts through the word of God. Help me to rightly divide the word of truth. And Lord, I pray that we'll leave here changed and encouraged and drawn a little closer to you. Fill me with your spirit. Simply means control me completely with your spirit. And Lord, in everything, Lord, every part of our life as individuals, as a family, as a church, Lord, we want it to be pleasing to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, you got to put on your thinking caps, okay? All right. We've been talking about, what have we been talking about? What's been the theme for the last several weeks? What have we been talking about? God's treasure chest of promises. Good job. So far, you got a star, gold star. Now, this don't say anything wrong, and you'll keep your gold star, okay? I'm joking with you. All right, so if this is God's treasure chest of promises, which it really ultimately is the Word of God, right? So this, in a world that has so many weird stuff going on, so much weird stuff going on, and in a world that is so anti-Christian, and in a world that really wants to put Christianity down, it's good to know the promises that God has for us in the Word of God. Y'all agree with that? So I really don't know how anybody as a child of God could come to our Wednesday night services we've been having lately and leave and say something like, it didn't say anything to me, it didn't speak to my heart at all, it didn't do a thing for me. What? No, you know what I'm saying? Because it's the Word of God. I mean, really, we ought to say, wow, really? God promised that to us? Y'all agree with that? Just give me a little nod. Connie and Larry's not here. They're not going to amen, so we're going to need some stand-in Connie and Larry's, okay? So God's treasure chest of promises. As we look at this, I'm going to ask you, what have we talked about already, okay? The handcuffs, what does that represent? The presence of God, right? He is always with us. Now, that's through the good, that's through the bad, that's through the indifferent, that's through the times of confusion. When we got saved, if you will, we got handcuffed to God. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us, right? And he's a forever friend, the Holy Spirit, to guide us and direct us using the Word of God. And so he's always with us. You know, a lot of times people are pretty fickle. Y'all notice that? Have y'all noticed that people are pretty fickle? Fickle? Fickle. I think you spell that F-I-C-K-L-E, maybe. I got to look at Amy. She gives me this weird look. It's like because I'm saying something that no one else understands what I'm saying. So people are pretty fickle, and they can abandon us, right? But I'm thankful that when we're saved, God says, I am your forever companion. I will be with you always. And we say basically when you got saved, he threw away the keys. Because once you're saved and he's with you always, you can't change that. I don't want to change it, but I'm glad that the Lord is always with us. The second thing that we looked at was represented by this picture frame. What was that? The promise from God's Word. Absolutely. That God is working on each one of us. We looked at Romans chapter 8, and God is using, God the Father is working in our hearts and lives to make us look like Jesus. And I'm not, when I say look like, not just physically look like, but in the way we think and in the way we approach things, the way even we disagree ought to truly affect, it ought to be affected by us being a child of God. So when I disagree with you, I ought to disagree like a Christian. Y'all agree with that? So God the Father's working on us, God the Son's working on us, and it talks about God the Holy Spirit working on us. And it even talks about in that passage in Romans chapter 8 that life is working on us. And we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. So God is working on us through even situations in life. So promise, he's working on us. I'm glad that he didn't leave me the way I was. Aren't you? I'm glad that he's not left me where I was yesterday. I mean, if I let him, he'll let me continue to draw closer to him. And if I'm not, guess where the problem is? With us, right? The third one we looked at in particular is this roll of packing tape. You notice how it's in a circle, right? A circle has no end, right? So we started talking about the promise of forever life, eternal life, everlasting life. And it's not like you're going to inherit that someday. Like, oh, sure hope I get it. If you're truly born again, you already got it. You already have everlasting life. And this world is just passing by. It will very quickly fade away as a vapor that appeareth for a moment, then vanishes away. That's what our human life is like. But I'm thankful that this life is not all there is, that goodbye this world is just hello that world, right? And so it's forever. And God's not going to, according to God and according to his promise, and God cannot lie, according to his promise, he's not going to wake up someday, if you will, and God have a bad day and say, okay, it's all over. Forget it. I know I told you heaven would be forever, but it's not. That's not going to happen. God has promised everlasting, eternal, forever life. And boy, what a promise that is. I mean, because we get bad news sometimes. And it's like, well, I see that this life's not going to last as long as I thought it might. It's okay. We got forever life. Then we started talking about this Band-Aid. And we've been kind of stuck on this one, if you pardon the pun. We've kind of been stuck on this Band-Aid for a little bit because we've been talking about God's help. God's help. Now, the promise of God's help, and we've kind of dug into that a little bit, and we've been looking at characteristics of the help that God gives to us. And in the Band-Aid, you know, like if you skin up your knee or something, your mom runs to you, your dad maybe run to you and say, okay, how can we help? Put some triple antibiotic cream on there, maybe kiss your boo-boo and put a Band-Aid on it. And that's a picture in my mind of help. And God is there to help us all the time. Whether we have boo-boos or not, God is there to help us. So, we're going to be talking more about that. I'm going to try to review pretty quickly and then look at some new stuff. We may even finish this tonight. The promise of God's help. The promise of God's help. Let me ask you this as we start. How many of you would like to go through life all by yourself without God? Okay. Seems to be unanimous. I don't think any of us would do a very good job of it, would we? But knowing that God is there to help us, and believe me, we need help. And some of us need more help than others. So the promise of God's help. First of all, the big point, Roman numeral number one, we are welcome to call upon God's help. And we've been looking primarily in the book of Psalms and in the New Testament. 15 times I counted in the Psalms that with that word help. That's where we've been centered around verses that use that specific word help. 15 times in the Psalms, the writer of the Psalms calls upon God's help, specifically God's help. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 in the New Testament, notice what it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace. So we come to prayer, we come to God's throne for grace and for mercy, and it says to help in time of need. So, it's okay. It's okay to go and ask God for help. Actually, God wants us to realize that we can't do it, that only he can. Then we looked at some New Testament examples of people asking Jesus for help. The Canaanite woman on behalf of her demon-possessed daughter said something like this. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Mark 9, 1 to 29, a man with a son with a demon. Disciples couldn't do anything. The dad said to Jesus, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. So we are welcome to call upon God's help. I mean, wouldn't it be something? Wouldn't it be something for God to say, okay, you're my child, but just don't, if you get in trouble, just leave me alone. I got enough on my plate. Has anyone ever told you this? Hey, if you ever need any help, just let me know. And you know in the back of your mind that they really don't want you to call them. You know, I'm sure you probably won't need help, but in case you possibly ever would, let me know. You know, it's kind of like, okay, you really don't want to help. But I'm telling you, God really wants to help. And we're welcome to call upon his help. Secondly, we've already looked at, without God's help, we may not still be in this world. Paul recognized that in Acts 26 and verses 21 and 22. It says, for these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Notice what he says, having therefore obtained what? Help of God. I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. He's freely admitting, and I'm sure he'd say this quite often, if it wasn't for the Lord's help, Paul would say, I wouldn't be in this world. You know, I think we could probably say that too a lot of times. If it wasn't for God's help, we wouldn't be in this world. So many things want to take us out. Some things just as a result of living in a sinful world. Sometimes people want to take us out. But I'm thankful for God's help. He recognized, Paul did, that it was because of the help of God that he was still here. And the psalmist in Psalm 94:17, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelled in silence. In other words, I would have been dead by now if it wasn't for God's help. Thirdly, and this is where we've been parked for a little while, what kind of help does God give us? What kind of help does God give us? First of all, they all start with the letter P. First of all, God gives personal help. I counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times in the Psalms it talks about my help or mine help. And in Hebrews chapter 13, the New Testament passage that references that says, so that we may boldly say the Lord is what? My helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know, I'm glad that God gives us personal help. You know, God knows you better than you do. God knows you better than you do. And when you need help, he knows exactly what kind of help you need. You know, sometimes we get the wrong impression. You know, we say, God, I need help in this area. And this is what I really, and God said, no, that's really not what you need. You need help in this area. So when God gives us, it's not a one size fits all. You know, it's kind of discouraging when you put on a few pounds and they say one size fits all and it doesn't. Not exactly a positive good day when that happens, right? But I'm thankful that God doesn't give us one size fits all help. It's personal help. And that's why all throughout these Psalms, you see again, my help, my help, my help, my help, mine help, on and on. God gives personal help. Secondly, we've already looked at this too, God gives present help. Present help. It's not like, you know, when our boys are traveling or whatever, we say, I even told Jason today, you know, hey, if you break down, just give us a holler. We'll head down there as quick as we can and see what, you know, that's not really a present help. I mean, that's a good offer, but it's not like I can be there. Like in Star Trek, you know, using a transporter room. I like the Star Trek that I kind of liked. I'm sure there's some flaws in it. I know it's not a perfect show, but Star Trek The Next Generation, that's where I was more familiar with. Because some of you remember the old ones with, what's his name? William Shatner. Yeah, William Shatner's Captain Kirk. And then I'm more with Jean-Luc Picard. That's the one that I'm watched more of was The Next Generation. And there's a transporter room, and you go in there, and they hit a few buttons, and you know, then you just disappear. Then you show up somewhere else. You know, we can't do that. So we sometimes offer help, but, you know, we know we can't be there. But God can be there immediately, like lickety-split, right? Hello, hello, hello. Y'all look at me kind of funny. Can God be there lickety-split? He's a present help. Look, notice this, Psalm 46, verse 1. Notice what it said. We're just going to look at verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. Here it is, a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. So God is not distant. You know, it's like we're, you know, God way up in the universe. I pray that you hear my... God is right, a very present help. He's just got his ear listening to us. God is everywhere. God lives inside of us. He's a present help in time of trouble. You know, I wish you could reach out your hand and say, God, just grab my hand. Just squeeze my hand twice if you're there. I mean, that'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Or just open my eyes for a minute and let me see at least, I don't want to see all your brilliance because it'll kill me, all your glory. Just a little bit of your, that would be great. But according to God's word, he's a very present help in trouble. You know, sometimes we feel lonely, we feel cast aside, we feel more deserted than Gilligan on Gilligan's Island, right? But God is there. He is a present help in trouble. So, what kind of help does God give? God gives personal help. God gives present help. God gives persistent help. We looked at this one too. Psalm 27 verses 9 and 10. Persistent help. Even when man lets you down and man disappoints you. And man sometimes has a knife in one of his hands and wants a knife in the back. I mean, that's just human nature, right? A lot of times. Hello, y'all still there? Never happened to you. Well, praise the Lord. But listen, hide not thy face, it says, far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my, there it is, help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Notice verse 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. You know, I realize that not everyone has a good home life and they can't depend upon their mom and dad, but the customary is if there's anybody you can count on to be there for you, it's mom and dad, right? But it says, even if mom and dad forsake you, guess who's still there? God is. He is a persistent help. In other words, he's not, you know, sometimes on, sometimes he's available, sometimes he's not. He's a persistent help. Fourthly, God gives us powerful help. Again, we looked at this, I think last time we looked at this a couple weeks ago. God gives us powerful help. We're only going to look at one of three references that mention this, but Psalm 124, verse 8. Notice what it says. Psalm 124, verse 8 says, our help, there it is again, is in the name of the Lord. What's the next words? Read those. Who made heaven and earth? Let's try that again. Who made heaven and earth? You see, God gives powerful help. Now, if you just think about that, I want you to go home and I want you to do your best to create something, okay? Just go ahead. Give it a shot. You just sit there and just try it. Now, I'm not talking about manipulating something into another form. I mean, just make something out of nothing. Just see if you can do that, okay? And I guarantee you, you cannot do that because we cannot create. But our God created all that is, all that we see. And if he can do all that and create all the mountains and all the foliage and all the rivers and all the flat lands too, God made those too. Not as pretty, but God made them. If God can do that, don't you think God can help us? I mean, that's a powerful help. The help that we call upon is the same God who made everything that is. So God gives us powerful help. Now, this is new stuff, okay? God gives us, another P word, protective help. Protective help. So God not only gives us personal help and present help and persistent help and powerful help, but he gives us protective help. Notice from these verses what God says he'll protect us from when we call upon his help. Psalm 37 and verse 40. Notice what it says. Psalm 37 in verse 40. It says, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them what? From the wicked and save them because they trust in him. So if we trust in God, God is right there to help us and to protect us. In this case, it says from the wicked. From the wicked. Now, are there people out there that's wicked? Do you pray God's protection upon you quite often? It'd be a good thing to do, right? Do you pray it upon your kids? I know we do about among our boys. I pray a hedge of protection about our boys probably about every day they live. I prayed that prayer, a hedge of protection about them and to protect them from. I pray that the Lord will protect them from the devil and his demons' attacks, evil people that would do them harm, and evil vices and thinking of the world. And then I go on some other stuff too, but those in particular. So I'm praying for protection from the wicked. And I'm thankful that God says, you know, call upon me. I'm a powerful God. I can do it. Psalm 63, verse 7. Now you'll like this. Just think of this picture in your mind, okay? We're talking about God gives us protective help. Because thou hast been my, there it is, help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. What do you think wings there represent? God's protection, right? I mean, why do the chicks or the baby birds get under Obama's wings? How come? Or why are the eggs even under the mama chicken anyway? Why? Protection, right? So when those wings are out, I mean, just think about that. We are under God's wings. Is there any better wings to be under? He protects us with those wings. God gives us protective help. Notice chapter 94, verses 16 and 17. Again, a psalm that talks about help and talks about protective help. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? So when evil comes about and evildoers want to do me in or want to do me harm, who's gonna back me up here? You know, one thing I have found, a lot of people, I found this in the secular workplace. Whenever you try to stand up for something that's right, there's a lot of people that suddenly lose their voice. You ever noticed that? I've noticed that before. I'm like, why? You may have even talked to them. I found that in church work. I found that sometimes, and I've also found it in secular work. You bring something up that may not be the most popular with management because you think it's right or wrong, and you bring it up, and suddenly there's a silence around the room, and you're the only one talking. But when that happens and evil rises against you, what can you do? Or who will stand up for me? I like that. Don't you like that? Who's going to rise up for me? Who is going to stand up for me? You know, we say, stand up for Jesus. But guess what? He's going to stand up for us. Always stand up for us. Against what? The workers of iniquity. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people in this world who do not like what we stand for. Do not like the God that we serve. And I believe that every war that's going on around the whole world can be traced back to a spiritual reason for that war. I mean, I realize love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, all evil. I get that. I understand that too. But you can trace them back to the reason for this war is for spiritual reasons. But so who's going to stand up for us? God will, right? Who's going to protect us? God will. You say, well, preacher, I just don't know. Preacher. I've known people and they tried to stand up and they lost their life. And what about these martyrs? Well, God really protected them, right? He took them home and said, hey, you don't even worry about these people anymore. I'm kidding. Right? Hello? Right? Okay, good. Protective help. God gives us protective help from the wicked. He has the wings analogy from the workers of iniquity. Chapter 40 and verse 17. Notice what it says. Chapter 40 and verse 17. The psalmist writes, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Now that's cool. Let's think about that for a moment. Talking about God's help. When I'm poor and needy, now that could be poor in a lot of ways. That could be financially poor, needy, and but we're poor and needy in a lot of areas sometimes beyond just financial, right? But when that happens, what? Guess what? It says, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. I mean, I would be happy if the God of the universe thought about me one time throughout all eternity. But I kind of get the impression that we're on God's mind all the time. That's amazing. He says, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help. There it is. And my deliverer. Make no tarrying. Oh my God. What's the psalmist saying? We feel this way sometimes too. Like, God, I need your help. Hurry up. I need your help. Make it quick. Doesn't always work that way, but that's the way we want it to work, isn't it? What about Psalm chapter 70 and verse 5? Talking about God gives us protective help. Notice this. God gives us protective help. It says in chapter 70 and verse 5, it says, but I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help. There it is. And my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. So God not only protects me from the wicked, he protects me with his wings. He protects me from the workers of iniquity. He even protects me when I'm poor and needy. Aren't you thankful for that? I'm thankful for that. So God not only gives us personal help, he gives us present help, he gives us persistent help, he gives us powerful help, he gives us protective help. God also gives us plodding help. Plodding help. P-L-O-D-D-I-N-G, Amy. Plodding help. P-L-O-D-D-I-N-G. Plodding help. Psalm 33 and verse 20. Psalm 33 and verse 20. Now, this may not be the perfect word for this, because a plodder is someone who just keeps going, right? It just keeps active and faithful. But if you look at this, this is not the perfect word to describe this, but hopefully you'll get the idea. It says in Psalm 33, verse 20, our soul waiteth for the Lord. Our soul waits for the Lord. Okay, Lord, we're waiting. But when we wait upon, you know, the Bible talks about waiting upon God quite a bit. I could preach you a whole sermon. I have a whole lesson, probably a series of lessons on the Bible where it tells us to wait upon God. Now, what's the opposite of waiting on God? running ahead of him, right? And when we run ahead of God and we try to take it upon ourselves and don't wait upon God to solve the problem or to help us or whatever, do we get in trouble? Yeah, usually we do. Like, okay, should have just minded my own business and just sit back and waited upon God. But it says, our soul waiteth for the Lord, for he is our, there it is, our help and our shield. I guess with that word plotting, God is always there. God is always there. And as we wait upon him, we think, well, he's not doing anything. Yeah, he is. He's plotting. He's moving forward. He is always there for us. We might have to wait on him, but that's okay. God's timing is perfect. You probably heard God is never early. God is never late. He is always right on time. So, God gives plotting help. So God gives personal help. God gives present help. God gives persistent help. God gives powerful help. God gives protective help. God gives plotting help. Two more, and I think we're done. God gives us prepared help. Prepared help. Now, you're going to look at this one. Psalm 121, verses 1 to 4. God gives us prepared help. Psalm 121, verses 1 to 4. Notice what it says. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. What? Which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not what? Slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither what? Slumber nor sleep. You see, God gives us prepared help. God didn't just kind of nod off. You know, say, so, well, God, what's going on here? You know, this is bad, and this is bad, and this is going wrong, and this one's saying something mean, and this one, you know, it's like, where's God? Did God fall asleep? I don't know. Does God ever sleep? Does God ever need to sleep? Yes, ma'am.
What's the difference between slumbering and sleeping?
Slumbering and sleeping. I don't know. Sometimes the Bible uses the same word and repeats it just for emphasis. I really don't know. I don't specifically know slumber nor sleep. Do you, Ryan, Mr. Bible College guy?
I'm looking it up. Maybe slumber's
a deeper sleep. Could be. As he looks it up, just pretend he's not helping me, then listen to what I say and pretend how brilliant I really am. Not. You got the answer to that, Mr. Ryan?
During prayer time, I
will. Okay. We'll move on. We'll talk about it here in a minute. There may be a difference, or it may be mentioned. I don't know off the top of my head what the difference would be. But the idea is that God is always prepared. You know, I mean, wouldn't it be something? God hung up there at heaven, God hung up the hours of operation. You know, this COVID thing has completely messed a lot of stuff up. Everybody's hours are cut back. You have our time making it to some of these places because nobody's open all the time anymore. And what really kind of frustrating, you know, various places, and it might surprise you, trying to eat really late at night sometimes, just like, forget it. Forget it. Go to a gas station. That's about as good as you're going to get because nobody stays open late anymore much. What if God said, you know what, my hours of operation, 8 to 5. Holidays closed. Would that be something? Can you see those hours of God says, no. There is no time that I'm not available because my help is a prepared help. Y'all agree with that? One more. Not only is God's help personal and present and persistent and powerful and protective and plotting and prepared. Lastly, God gives us positive help. God gives us positive help. Aren't you impressed with all those P words? I'm just joking. God gives us positive help. Preacher, what in the world are you talking about, positive help? Well, look at Psalm 63, verse 7. Psalm 63 and verse 7. Notice that. It says, because thou hast been my, there it is, my help, Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings, again, the analogy of the wings and the protection, what's our response? Will I rejoice? You know, you and I, they're really, I know life's hard, and I know a lot of things happen we don't understand, but really, there is no time with God in control and with all the promises of God, and in particular, with all of God's help, as we're looking at this in particular, there should not be a time that we cannot rejoice on the inside. Because something bad happens, I just go to God's promises and say, well, it's going to turn it into something good. You know, something bad happens, need help, hey, God's there to help me, right? So this positive help, God gives us positive help. Because thou hast been my help. In the shadow of your wings, I'm resting. Therefore, what? I will rejoice. I'm going to rejoice. It's a positive help. It should encourage our hearts to know that God is there to help us. One more verse. Psalm 146, verse 5. This is good. This is good. How many of you like to be happy? Happy, happy, happy. Now, this word probably has the idea of just being blessed. The idea of being blessed. But it says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for what? For his help. Whose hope is in the Lord his God. You see, the help that God gives us is a positive help. It ought to make us be able to make it through the most difficult of days. Y'all agree with that? Something that makes us different than the world. The world goes through things and they don't have anywhere to turn. They don't have anybody to go to. They don't have a power that we have in our God to say, can you fix this? But we got it. So we ought to rejoice and we ought to be happy, right? Now, I'm convinced, I really am convinced that too many Christians do not show the joy of the Lord on their face. Now, I'm not thinking of anybody, and definitely nobody's here, but I'm just saying, too many times we have, I remember, I think I've shared it because it just stunned me. We went on our West trip one time, we went out west, and it seemed like we were doing the Jesse James Museum or something like that out there. Seems like, I could be wrong on that. And this guy was there, little looks like a little scrawny ball-headed guy was there, and he had his Bible open. You know, he was like the guy working there at the counter. And we, you know, and I said, oh, you know, you're reading your Bible. You'd think I'd have said, hey, you're the ugliest person I ever saw in the world with that response. I mean, he wasn't. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not calling the guy ugly, but I'm just saying his response was not positive. Remember, he just snarled. And just, you know, I mean, my goodness, with a guy like that supposedly reading the Bible, and I assumed maybe a Christian, I wouldn't want what he had if I didn't have it. You know what I mean? So this idea that God gives us positive help, he's always there for us, ought to make us have every once in a while. Now, you don't have to go around smiling all the time. You might get bugs in your mouth if you did that. But you know what? Every once in a while, a smile ought to come out. And if a smile hasn't come out for a while, I don't think the problem's with God. But we should be good testimonies for God by having a positive attitude. Y'all agree with that? All right. The promise of God's help. We're going to finish this little sub-series, if you will. We're welcome to call upon God's help. Without God's help, we may not still be in this world. What kind of help does God give? He gives personal help and present help and persistent help and powerful help and protective help and plotting help and prepared help and positive help. The promise of God's help. Let me ask you some questions. Does your world need help? Does your country need help? Mm-hmm. Does your state need help? Mm-hmm. Does your county need help? Mm-hmm. Does your community need help? Mm-hmm. Does your neighborhood need help? Mm-hmm. Does your church need help? Mm-hmm. Does your family need help? Mm-hmm. Do you need help? Mm-hmm. I think we probably almost unanimously say, well, answered all of that. Yes. I'd encourage you. We're going to go to prayer, and I'm just going to ask you to go to God right now in prayer and say, God, I need your help. I need your help. And you may be thinking, it's my family. You may be thinking of our church. You say, well, it needs help. You might be thinking of yourself and what you're going through. Would you just take a moment and call upon that personal and present and persistent and powerful and protective and plotting and prepared and positive help? So let's pause for prayer. Would you do that? Just go to the Lord.